Testing.
So what is this now? Take 22 of the intro? Something like that?
I've only got 10 fingers.
So, I haven't been counting, so.
I want to go with at least 55.
This has been a train wreck, folks, and
speaking
you are not going to hear
any. Speaking of 55, Carlos Sainz had a fantastic race in the 2018 Azerbaijan Grand Prix.
What a clunky segue that was. Jeez.
All right.
Okay, we had so many things meticulously planned out for this introduction. We were going to do a stupid is it recording gag. We were also going to do a stupid have we tested the microphone gag. And we were also going to go back and forth about how to pronounce each other's last names. But all things considered, we were never going to get through all that.
You were given a terrible, awful segue from yours truly, Zachary Zambelli.
That's not his last name.
And I am joined by Thomas Barbeau.
That's a horrible mispronunciation of mine.
That's fine. And this is episode 2 of the Proof of the Halo podcast. And we're just going to be talking about the 2018 Azerbaijan
Gesundheit
Grand Prix. We're going to be talking about all the craziness that happened in this one because it really was a crazy, ridiculously enjoyable dumpster fire of a race.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
It was a very good one. It was like a train wreck.
Yeah.
You never want to look away. Except the train wreck was a Red Bull and another Red Bull.
Dude, was that a spoiler?
Well, by this point, they probably would have seen the race
if
they'd already worked their way to this podcast.
Yeah, they wouldn't come to our podcast first before watching like the highlights or something. So
it's kind of funny because in the last takes that we did, the roles were reversed in that conversation.
It was. I realized that. I kind of took the reins on that one, you know?
Yeah. I don't know why we bothered just practicing what we were going
to
say.
I think it's better to nice and raw, and au naturel, you know?
Au naturel, yeah.
Au
this is still
natural.
Bad, but compared to everything else we've done to this point, it's amazing.
I'm sure it's pretty enjoyable to listen to.
I really hope so.
I hope so, too.
And I hope that the people who are not related to us aren't going to be too mean to us.
They're not going to listen to this, man.
That's a good
point. We'll be lucky.
Yeah.
And that's kind of sad because like they're the only people that would give us enough pity to listen to this.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh, well.
Anyways, guys, we're going to be Lance strolling right into this podcast. You're going to join us for the ride. It's going to be a good time. And let's get right into the show. So just running through what we're going to be discussing today, we're going to be talking about the final race results. So we're going to be going through the podium, some surprises, some disappointments. There was lots of each, some significant race events. We're going to be talking about some takeaways from the race, a championship update. And we're going to be talking about some specific teams, some specific drivers, and where the season's sort of going to go from here.
Yeah, as far as we can tell, at least, because after all, we're just two teenagers sitting in a basement hopped up on raspberry iced tea and wafers.
Yo, it's good stuff, though.
Right? It is good stuff. It is good stuff.
It's good Stoffel Van Dorn.
Oh, you well, okay, I'm going to talk now so he can't make another one of those jokes. As you've probably figured out by this point, if you've been paying attention at all, this is a very rough sort of style. Obviously, I wasn't here for the first episode, and I don't know how frequently I will be here.
Nobody was here for the first episode because I was the only person that listened to it.
Well, fair point.
Thanks, guys. Even though guys in this sense is basically nobody because nobody's listening to this.
That's true. Yeah.
So that is sort of a rough generalization of what we're going to be going through in this here very right now podcast. So I hope you enjoy, and let's
Well, you already said let's get right to the show.
Let's get right to the show.
So
yeah. So
we're already in the show.
We're heartily into it.
So, he's going to go through the whole grid.
Whole grid of puns.
That's like 12 days of Christmas could just be replaced with 20 days of puns.
It could be. Let's Paul Blart segue right into our next segment.
That wasn't okay. Let's just talk about Formula One so you can stop with the puns, please.
So right now we're just going to run through the final race results from the 2018 Azerbaijan
Gesundheit
Grand Prix. So we're just going to run through the podium first and foremost. Coming home in a surprising first place, given his somewhat mediocre race, we have Lewis Hamilton. He qualified for second, but he kind of just, he wasn't really there all race. He just sort of kept his nose clean, stayed in the back of the top three, and just...
He was just there.
You know, when everything happened, he really capitalized and took the race win.
It's weird. It's been a trend this year that Hamilton, if I'm not mistaken, aside from Australia, he's kind of just been present, but hasn't been the dominating force that we've seen these last few
years.
Yeah,
that's actually, it's kind of refreshing to see though. Like, I'm not anti-Hamilton. I'm not pro-Hamilton, but I'm just like, I want to see somebody else win.
Yeah.
I mean,
good point.
The guy's a good racing driver, but...
Yeah, he's one of the greatest of all time.
He is, and I don't think we can take that away from him, but I want to see someone else do well. Because aside from Nico Rosberg in 2016, no one else has won it, and he was still a Mercedes, so it's like, is that really any different? Anyways.
Speaking of somebody else doing well, though, my main man, the Iceman, Kimi Raikkonen, coming home in P2, followed home by the surprising Force India third place from Sergio Perez.
I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah, it was just at one point there was a safety car, and then, there's a pink car on the podium.
It was good for him. He's now the most decorated Mexican racing F1 racing driver of all time.
Yeah.
Good for him. But the reason he came in third was because Sebastian Vettel came in fourth place. You know, after the safety car restart on lap, what was it, like 47?
Yeah, we're going to get to the move that he made in greater detail in a little while.
Yeah, anyways, he messed up. He got himself into fourth, and it helped Perez get into that fantastic third position.
Yeah, really impressive. And I mean, watching those Force India guys celebrate on the pit wall was just
good.
Made me happy.
And coming in for Renault's best result since their return to Formula One.
Really?
Yep. Wow. We have, get this, we have Carlos Sainz, number 55, in fifth place, five positions ahead of his qualifying position.
Well, pack it in, folks. The Illuminati's watching all of our moves, going to die a horrible, painful death.
Pretty much. But good for Renault to get their best result. I mean, it came at the cost of the two Red Bulls, which we'll get into later.
I'm okay with that.
And I think I'll let Thomas take the next one, because this before he gets into it, this driver is very near and dear to his heart.
You're making it seem as if we grew up together. Yeah, they grew up together. He's talented.
He knows the kid well.
No, I don't.
And
I wish
Thomas,
I did.
Who came in for a shocking sixth place?
Well, we've got, as Zach said, one of my fast favorite drivers in Charles Leclerc. And I mean, the whole weekend he was just on it.
Oh, he was really fantastic.
Fantastic qualifying performance, and just everywhere he needed to be, kept his nose clean, drove very well and very quickly, snagged a brilliant P6 for Sauber. I don't know the history, but it's been a while since Sauber has done that well.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he qualified for 13th, and I think everybody was shocked when they saw that. And it was just so good to see him build on that success. I mean, granted, only 13 drivers actually finished the race, but he still had to drive fairly well to beat two McLarens, a Williams, and his teammate. Like, I think he did a fantastic job.
If I'm not mistaken, even without those retirements, he still would have been fighting for low-end points at least 10th, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely.
My favorite part, actually, for him, I don't think it's much to discuss later on, so I might as well say it now. In the post-race celebrations, when they cut to a audio clip of his team radio, he's celebrating, and then he swears, and within half a second, sorry. And I just thought, oh, he's so pure. It's wonderful.
Nice kid.
I really want to see this kid do well. I watched a couple of his races back in Formula 2, and I was just taken aback with how quick this kid was. I really think he's going to be a big deal.
And if Kimi Raikkonen leaves the sport this year...
As much as I love him, I kind of want him to.
Well, he's getting old, and Charles could easily, with a result like this, and if he can keep stuff like this up, he has a good chance of getting that Ferrari seat, because he's proven that he's pretty good. So... Coming in number 7, P7, that is, we have Fernando Alonso. Honestly, one of my favorite drivers on the grid. I know he's getting close to the end of his career, but he's just such a solid, consistent, he's just a good driver. I've always liked him.
He's just ridiculously talented. And, I mean, the McLaren was not looking particularly strong today. I think we'll touch on Stoffel Vandoorne a little bit later, but, I mean, Alonso managed to pull a 7th place out of the rear end of that car where... Without the retirements, he probably would not have been much of a threat for points. But
yeah,
it just shows what you can do when you're opportunistic and just as talented as that man is, because if I'm not mistaken, he had to pit on the first lap for some serious damage to his floor.
Correct? Wait, because he lost his two left or right tires, but he was like, somehow nursed that thing back to the pits fantastically.
We're gonna cover that incident because that was an interesting one on the opening lap.
It sure was.
With that said, we move on to P8. And Lance Stroll snagging an impressive 4 points for Williams. And I'm not going to lie, I'm the unbiased one when it comes to Stroll because, Zach just sees a Canadian flag on the Formula One grid and immediately his blood starts boiling maple syrup.
I want to explain myself with this one. So I am...
You kind of have to.
I am a Williams fan. Now, I'm not sure how much bias that gives me because they're not a great team this year. But the reason I picked them back in the day was when I first started watching F1, which was in around 2015. I watched my first race, and the way I pick a new sports team, whether it be F1, soccer, hockey, whatever, I picked the one that has the coolest looking either jersey or, in this case, car. And I looked at the Williams, and I'm like, that is a cool looking car, and that is my new favorite. So I picked Back then, it was Bottas and Massa. Good times with them. And then they signed Canadian Lance Stroll, and I've got a lot of national pride. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool to see him driving with the Canadian flag. Unfortunately, he's got a bit of a crappy car this year. But
yeah, it's not.
They scored their first points of the season. He had a good result. I think he really had to really push the car to get there.
I think he did. He had definitely some luck involved. As we mentioned, only 13 finishers.
He's got some talent.
He's not
great, but I mean, honestly, I think in terms of my favorite actual driver on the grid, it's got to go to Danny Ric.
Oh, for sure. And we'll get to the whole Red Bull thing. We keep saying that, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think at this point we've covered the main finishers. Let's just run through the rest of the order.
Yep.
The last 2 point scores. Stoffel Vandoorne, and we'll touch on him later. Brendan Hartley, his first point in Formula One. Mm-hmm. Big congratulations to the Kiwi. And then the remaining finishers, Marcus Ericsson, solid stuff from him. Pierre Gasly and K-Mag. And then the retirements, Bottas, Grosjean, both Red Bulls of Verstappen and Ricciardo, Hülkenberg, Ocon, and Sorotkin.
Sorotkin. I don't like Sorotkin.
Mostly because he's up against Stroll.
I'm a Williams fan, as I said before. Mm-hmm. I don't like Sergei Sorotkin. I don't like the way he drives. I don't like his flat personality. Mm-hmm. Sergei, if you're listening to this, please, I'm sorry, but I'm not a huge fan. Mm-hmm. And your nickname is Soggy Sorotkin because your personality is quite soggy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And if there's any Russians listening to this podcast, Daniel Kvyat is one of my favorite F1 drivers of all time. He's not a torpedo, and it's okay.
Just butter him up. Real subtle. Pandering right there. Well, that's the final order, and I suppose we should kind of compose ourselves, take a look at our notes so we don't forget everything that happened in this jam-packed race.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened. Like, there's honestly too much to cover in one episode.
We're just gonna have to gloss over a lot of things, unfortunately. Yep. But we'll make sure to set this this podcast being recorded up a little bit closer to the race next time, so we've got the events fresh in our mind. Anyway, I suppose we'll move on to
examination. We're moving on to the next segment.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Yeah, real clean. Real clean.
Thank you.
So we're going to start the meat of this year podcast with a quick run through of the significant events of the race.
Now, there was a lot of them.
Yeah. With the race this... Well, interesting, which is nice and refreshing in modern-day F1 because it doesn't happen too often. But unfortunately, with a race this busy, we're probably going to forget a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, I'm going to try and cover everything that happened on the first lap of major consequence. So I think the first event that was somewhat significant into the second corner, if I recall correctly, Ericsson locks up and just goes sliding into the side of Kevin Magnussen, doing some damage.
And
you
got a 10-second time penalty for that.
Yeah, he did pick up a 10-second time penalty. He did some damage to the floor of the Dane. And I think that impacted the Haas driver's, impact on the rest of this race. Then, what else happened? You've got, the three-man incident involving, who was it, Hülkenberg, Sorotkin,
and Alonso.
Yes, Fernando. Down the straight following the second corner. Looked as if Hülkenberg couldn't quite see Alonso in his mirrors because they were three wide. Tried to squeeze Sorotkin a little bit further over to the left side of the track so that Hulk would have better track position. And, Well, because Alonso was even further on the left, there was some contact between three. Hülkenberg seemed to get away okay, and Sorokin ended up retiring from the contact. And, well, Alonso miraculously limped back to the pits, and we know now that he finished in seventh. So,
and honestly, with that collision, like, it's such a narrow track, and
yeah,
I think it was just bogged down to a racing incident.
Yeah, I would agree.
Anyone was at fault for that. It's just a really narrow track, and they were all fighting for space, and that stuff happens.
Actually, I forgot. Sorokin did run into the back of one of the Force Indies. Can't remember which.
Second corner.
I feel like it was Sergio too. Speaking of the Force Indias, though, there was a little bit of contact between one Mr. Raikkonen and Esteban Ocon. Turn three, Ocon tries to go around the outside of Kimi. Didn't look like he saw him because
he
clips clean in front of him. And I mean, in the short while that he's been in the sport, Esteban Ocon has looked like quite a clean driver, more or less. So I would be inclined to chalk that up to him not seeing him, but. Then you've got some member of the Force India team. I forget his name.
I think it's Otmar something. He's the one of the race engineers, I guess. He came on the radio and was saying that it's all Kimi's fault and that was a terrible move by Kimi and it was dangerous. Yeah. It was not Kimi's fault. It's a tight corner. Ocon didn't give him any space. That's not a racing incident. I don't think Ocon even got a penalty for that.
Well,
I
mean,
he retired from the race, but... But
Kimi was already alongside there.
Alongside.
He was well on the inside.
It is a very tight corner. Like, Kimi could have backed out, but there was also cars behind him. So, honestly, Ocon just should have given him the space. And
it's just challenging, unfortunately, in that case. But, obviously, I can understand Otmar's position because, you know, you're trying to stick up for your team, trying to avoid any penalization. And that's understandable, but... He seemed almost hostile when he was talking about it with Croft.
Yeah, I wasn't
Rumble.
Happy about that.
No.
I wasn't happy about that.
But regardless, that was more or less it for the first lap, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
And then we had a safety car called out.
Of course.
Some business behind the safety car. We got some pit stops. I think it was Ericsson, Alonso, and someone else came in.
Mm-hmm.
Kimi.
Kimi.
Well, then we started to go racing again.
And my goodness, did the Renaults ever take the fight to the Red Bulls?
Yeah, it was impressive. Both of them passing the Red Bulls in
10.
Hülkenberg working his way up from the grid penalty that he got for a gearbox change. I think he was down in something like 13th on the grid.
Yep.
And all of a sudden he was back in 7th or 8th, right behind his teammate in a couple of laps.
He did fantastic.
Yeah. It's just a shame because a couple laps later, as he was slowly reeling in Carlos Sainz, he loses the back end coming out of the right-hander early in the first sector and just tags the back end of the car against the wall, and that's the end of his race. He's got an unfortunate history of retiring due to collisions with the wall.
Yeah,
here
it's
in
too
Baku.
Bad. It's too bad to see because he's a really talented driver. And
I'm quite a fan of Hülkenberg.
Yeah, he's good. And speaking of, actually, we were just talking about the Red Bulls, but a big bit of controversy about this race is the fact that the team lets them race. And I'd say a bit too aggressively because they had a big fight and they were honestly, I think they had the pace to catch the Mercs and the Ferraris ahead of them.
Or they were, at the very least, keep them honest.
Yeah, and they were running in fourth and fifth and they just kept on, like, Verstappen overtook Ricciardo down into one at one point and then Ricciardo took him back and they kept on, like, kind of tapping a bit.
Yeah.
And it was just really sketchy. And I get that the team wants them to just race because they don't actually have a defined first or second driver. But I think that's going to change after this race, especially when we get into what happened later on in the race, because it was just – it was not good.
Actually, yeah, before the major incident between the two, there was a slight – well, a fair bit smaller one. Ricciardo actually gets around the outside of Verstappen, who then runs wide out of turn one. I'm not going to comment on whether or not this was intentional, but Max gets almost up to the white line on the side of the track, squeezes Daniel, makes contact with his wheel. And I think at that point, you need to give your teammate the space. You need to give anybody the space, but he's in an identical car, and the team is not going to be happy if you put your own teammate in the wall. Just ask the Force Indias last year.
At Belgium.
Yeah.
That's not a good time.
Or Azerbaijan, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's true.
You need to be a little bit more careful with your teammate. But...
And it was pretty obvious that Ricciardo was faster. He had the pace on Max, and Max, I think, should have just backed off a bit. Let Ricciardo see if he can catch Bottas up ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Bottas? I think it was Bottas.
I feel like it was at that stage. We are going to get flooded with angry Dutch people.
Yeah, we don't hate Max Verstappen. He has shown great potential. Like, he is a fantastic racing driver, but he needs to really learn how to hone his aggressiveness.
Yeah, he's got to calm it down because he's starting to become a bit dangerous at times.
At times. But I think Ricciardo is definitely, in my opinion, the better driver. He's just more mature. Mm-hmm. He's had more experience. And if he doesn't win a championship before he retires, it will be a loss to Formula One.
I do think that on raw pace, I would actually give the edge to Verstappen. But mm-hmm. I think that when you consider his maturity and his aggressive driving style, he has a tendency to throw away more opportunities than the ironically very opportunistic Daniel Ricciardo.
And speaking of Max's somewhat aggressive driving, the next big event in the race was what we foreshadowed earlier.
This is a tough one. The Red Bulls took each other out. Let's start with that.
I say the fault is like 60-40 Verstappen.
I would go a little further. I'd say about 80-20 Max.
I mean, Ricciardo, he faked him out. If you guys haven't seen, if anybody listening to this hasn't seen the crash, F1 has like just a bunch of clips of it on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's you not should go every give. Day teammates hit each other. So
no, it was
a field day.
So they were really close to the braking zone. Like Ricciardo, I think he had DRS on him.
He had
DRS, and he was gaining on him massively. And he just tried to make the move a bit too late into the braking zone. But then again, Max gave him as much space as there is space between like your fingernail and your skin. Like there was no space for Ricciardo to go. He just shut the door, and it was. And then Ricciardo just slammed into the back of Max, lost his front wing, ended his race, ended Max's race. And they were running in fourth and fifth. That would have been huge points for the team.
Yeah, really important, especially considering what ended up happening to both Sebastian Vettel and Valtteri Bottas right in the final few laps.
And this is the second race out of four so far this season that both Red Bulls have retired.
Yeah, that's not something you want to see. No. Now, I actually looked at that crash a little bit differently when I saw it, because the way I saw it, if I'm in Ricciardo's position, you understand that Max is already an aggressive driver, but the way you've seen him drive in this race, he's going to be racing you very hard. He's made that very clear, given the wheel banging and the aggressive overtaking that he's done and defending of his position. So I see Ricciardo coming up on Max, who's already well over to the left side of the track, nowhere near the optimal racing line. So Ricciardo tries to sell a dummy, goes to the right. Max presumably sees him in the mirrors because he immediately moves right too. And then when Daniel cuts back to the left, instead of, as one would expect in that situation, carrying on either in a straight line or moving back to the racing line, because you're not allowed to move off of the racing line under braking, Max makes a very slight, admittedly, move back to the left.
Closing the door.
Yeah, he closed the door on, there was enough space for a car, but not much. And once he closed the door, the downforce and the aero and the air itself is taken off of Ricciardo's front wing and he locks up. There's nowhere for him to go. And so,
but one would argue that I personally think that Ricciardo should have, when he made the fake, he should have noticed that he was that close to the braking stone and just stuck to that outside line, knowing he could pass Verstappen later on. I don't see why he had to cut back knowing Verstappen was going to close the door.
I don't think he would have known. That's the thing.
But he knows that they're both teammates and how much money that would have cost the team and how much it is costing the team. And I think if it were me, I would have stuck to that outside line rather than trying to pull the fake that within decimeters of the braking zone. Because like,
this is true.
The move just wasn't going to happen whether he liked it or not. Like, he was going to lock up and go wide anyways if he got past him on the inside. So,
well, I mean, this is Daniel Ricciardo we're talking about here. The man is known for, I mean, you saw his move on Bottas in China.
He's beautiful. And Vettel.
I don't know how he does what he does. So I think to assume that he would have locked up and gone wide is...
They were really close. The tires were pretty worn. Yes. I just don't see how he could have made it.
Those tires were fresh.
They were fresh? They just pitted.
Less than four laps old.
Okay.
My point is, though, I don't think you can assume that... Well, I think it's safe for Ricciardo to assume that Max would not move back off the racing line because it's illegal to.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to make that assumption that Max is going to cut me off, why bother?
Right.
I don't think that's in the mentality of any high-level racing driver, let alone Daniel Ricciardo.
But I think he should have stuck to the outside line because he knew he had the pace. and he could have caught that right back up to Verstappen. Either way, it's a highly controversial accident, and it's highly controversial because even with all the onboard cameras and all the views we have of it, it's so hard to tell like who, like what actually happened.
Yeah, I think at this point, from what I've seen, everyone seems to be on the same page that this was predominantly Verstappen's doing.
But
no one, from what I've read, nobody believes Ricciardo to be entirely blameless.
No, because he could have prevented it, but
he could have.
It happened.
Although in his defense, and this is the last thing I'll say on the accident because we've spent about 5 minutes on it.
Yep.
Ricciardo, and I've completely forgotten what I wanted to say. This is disappointing.
That's unfortunate.
It'll come back to me.
Let's move on to the next major incident. Probably.
Oh, wait. I got it. Here we go. I got it. Here we go. I solved my problems. So it took him, it took Ricciardo 35 laps to pass Max the first time. The race is, 51? It's 51 laps long. If he makes the assumption that it's going to take him another 35 laps to pass Verstappen again, if he just kind of keeps doing the same thing he was trying, he's losing to his teammate.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the sooner he gets around Verstappen, the sooner he gets to take a shot at whoever was in front of him on the road. I think at that point it would have been
Bottas.
Yeah.
Like
so,
that.
Again, I do agree that Ricciardo was partially to blame for this incident, but I really do think that it's...
mostly Max.
Yeah, it's a little bit irresponsible to be throwing your own car around as a moving chicane.
Especially when your teammates...
Exactly. 100%.
But let us know what you guys think. Send us a little voice message on Anchor if you want to.
Or just yell at us.
Or just yell at us. Let us know what you think about the incident. But we're going to move right on to one of the... Okay, it wasn't like a light moment of the race, but it was hilarious with the reaction. Because after that massive Red Bull collision, of course there was a safety car called out.
Absolutely.
Late in the race. Actually, I was getting kind of concerned that we'd end on a safety car. Which
me too.
I did not want. Luckily, we didn't. But I have to say, the unluckiest man on the grid, Romain Grosjean, trying to keep his tires warm on the safety car speed.
He just bottles it.
He bottles it. He smashes into the wall, ends his race, extends the safety car, which extended our anxiety of the race ending under a safety car.
Yeah, we were nervous.
The funniest part about this is I guess someone in the Haas garage came on the radio and said to Roman, we think Ericsson hit us.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And they showed a replay, and Ericsson was about 17 years behind Romain Grosjean. there was no contact.
Nothing.
So, I mean, that was kind of terrible.
Yeah, it was. Oh, that's disappointing.
And then actually, I'm not sure if any of you guys caught this, but when Roman went back into the garage and he turned the corner from behind the parking spaces, he like chucked his gloves, and I thought he was like chucking them at the guy who was back there. But he's had a frustrating season. I think Haas has had such high hopes every season they've been in F1, and every season there's just been these bitterly disappointing results. Because
this season especially, they look like they might genuinely be the number four team.
Yeah, and the biggest thing about this crash is that he started in P20.
Yeah, he was driving quite well, and the strategy they had him on was great.
He went from P20 to P6, and he just blew it on a safety car lap. Like, how does the man get this unlucky? It's too bad.
Yeah.
It's too bad to see that happen to him. But at the same time, he needs to learn how to drive 100 kilometers an hour if he wants to drive 330. Come on.
Now, in fairness, as somebody who has been playing some F1 2017 with the man to my right for quite a while, he is in no position to be criticizing an actual professional Formula 1 driver. He can't even keep a car in a straight line off of a grid start.
Okay, but I'm not a professional, and he is, so he should know how to do it properly.
Fair point, but
anyways,
it's just kind of funny.
We have to move on here.
Yeah, we do. We've been spending way too long on this.
So,
after the safety car,
this is where things get interesting. So, Sebastian Vettel...
As if they weren't already.
Yeah, Sebastian Vettel was second place right behind Valtteri Bottas, who drove a great race, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was second place on the restart. There was about, five laps to go?
Ballpark five,
and on the first corner after the restart, he goes for a super aggressive down the inside move into turn one, locks up, goes wide, and gets bunted down to fourth place. Now with
a flat spot.
A flat spot on his tire, ruined his race effectively. He could have won. Like, honestly, he could have waited a couple laps or a couple corners and got the move done cleanly. But yes. Thomas, you have a different outlook on what this happened.
I would agree that I think Vettel did have the pace. It looked as if over the course of the race he was faster in the early stages, and I think he probably could have done with waiting a little bit. But then again, this is Mercedes we're talking about here. We know that from time to time they can just kick things into an unheard of gear.
Party mode.
Yeah, party mode. And just run away with things. So I can understand him wanting to get the move done right away. But when I watched it back before we started recording here, I noticed that it looks as if he's already got the door open on the inside. Mm-hmm. This is not Max Verstappen v. Daniel Ricciardo 2.0. He had the space and he was closing in, but then he just breaks ridiculously late. And I think he would have actually made the move had he not just slowed down so late. So I really do think that's quite unfortunate, because we could have had a double Ferrari podium knowing what we know about Bottas later.
So speaking of that, this race, we thought after that kerfuffle that this race was just in the bag. Bottas was going to go on, take the lead of the championship with that win. But then he would have had the lead of the championship if he won this race. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but then another big point of controversy was the marshals cleaning up the debris off the track, because coming down the straight, Bottas hit a piece of debris and punctured his rear right tire and didn't finish the race, which then allowed Hamilton to fly through and take the lead of the championship.
Yeah, Hamilton gets promoted, Raikkonen is second.
Yep.
Perez, who has since passed Vettel because of the flat spot, goes into third. Again, amazing strategy from those Force India guys.
Oh, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I mean, great.
Good job on them. But the big point of controversy is that safety car lasted a long time.
In fairness, Grosjean was in a really tough spot to get that car out. So I can understand why the safety car was out for a while.
Those marshals had one job.
Clean the track.
Clean the track, because it's just not safe.
No, it's not.
They're lucky that that's all that happened.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It was unfortunate for Bottas. He drove a great race.
Thank goodness Bottas had the halo to protect him from that piece of debris that was already on the ground, though.
And that is the proof of the halo.
Oh, we'll get into a debate about that some other time.
Oh, that'll be its own episode.
That'll be its own marathon.
That'll be its own marathon.
But
its own season.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, at this point, we've covered the main events in terms of the accidents and the points of controversy, I think.
We've covered Leclerc. He came in sixth place. Fantastic job from him.
I think what we can do at this point, because I mean, with a less exciting race, we'll probably have more time to talk about actual overtakes and that sort of thing. And as we progress with this podcast, we'll understand how to format it a little bit better. But why don't we move on to the last little section, the takeaways and the team and driver reviews for the both of us.
Actually, I think before we get into that, I just want to get a quick opinion from you.
Yeah.
What was your rating out of 10 for the Azerbaijan
Gesundheit
Grand Prix?
You know, at the time, I think I said 8.5, but I'm actually going to bump that up to a 9.
Mm-hmm.
I remember throughout the entire race, even though the major incidents were relatively spread out, although admittedly they were well-placed for excitement, like the final few laps or late in the race, I did find that there were stories that I was watching as the race went on.
Like the strategies, too.
Exactly. What's going to happen with Leclerc? I was really rooting for him to get some points on the board. What's happening with Magnussen? Because I completely forgot that he had floor damage. And just a whole bunch of other stories. The McLaren somehow managing to grab points. Sergio Perez managing to come from nowhere to grab a podium. There were so many little things at work over the course of this race that, you know, you don't typically have in just a single file procession race as we as F1 fans are all too familiar with in the modern age. So I think this race is genuinely a 9 for me. Yeah, okay. It was fantastic.
I initially gave it a 9.5 out of 10 because I was just high on Azerbaijan.
I can see that in your notes here, yeah.
And I think I'd bump it down to a 9.
Fair.
Just because 9.5 is really close to a perfect race, and it was by no means perfect. Like, the middle section was pretty boring, minus the strategy, but it wasn't anywhere near as exciting as the first and last part of the race. But I'd give it a 9 out of 10. I think it was the best race so far. And I think it's good to see, after how boring the 2016 Azerbaijan Grand Prix was, how last year's was fantastic.
I would actually argue that last year's Baku race was actually better than this one.
No, I disagree with you on that. I just remember
the final lap showdown with Bottas
and Stroll. Yeah.
Not to mention the Force Indias coming together. Hulkenberg crashing.
I mean, they were both good. Azerbaijan has proven it's a fantastic racing track. Everyone was worried about it at first, but now I think it's cemented itself as, creating just some fantastic races. And I'm really excited to see how the future holds for Baku.
It's a street circuit that you can overtake on. And I admit I am a little bit nervous to see how Baku will fare in a year where maybe there's less insanity surrounding the race, how the actual racing is going to be if we get 51 laps nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it's true.
All things considered, it has made a far greater impression on me in just 2 years.
Yep.
Than most other circuits have
yep.
since I fart. Let me, no, not fart. Since I started following Formula One way back in, well, I wasn't following it in 2001, but since my first memories of the sport back then, if you will.
All right, so we're going to stroll on into, I've used that already this race.
You've used that in about six different takes
you know what?
The intro.
That's going to be my new thing. We're going to stroll on into to the team and driver review individually. We're going to just blow through those because we've already spent 22 minutes on the race review.
Yeah. This is actually going to be something like an hour long unintentionally.
Yeah. It's like, but the thing is this race had so much to talk about. Like I'm sure with some of the races this year, we're going to have like maybe 2 minutes of stuff to talk about. Yeah. But
Monaco, that's it.
Yeah. Pretty much Russia happened.
Yep. It was there.
Yeah. Anyways, we're gonna
move on to the reviews, I guess.
Yeah, we're gonna send things over to the team reviews, and then hopefully, eventually wrap this thing up.
We'll figure out how to streamline these podcasts in the future. We're just getting started. We're learning. All right. So as we mentioned for the final little segment here, I'm just going to name a team, basically, and then we're each going to go and give a very brief description of how we thought each of their drivers did and how the team performed over the course of the weekend. So I suppose we should start with the winning team, Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Zach, you want to start?
So for Mercedes, I feel like what I'm happy to see with Mercedes this year is rather than what we talked about last year with Ferrari taking the fight to Mercedes.
Yeah.
It seems a lot more that Mercedes is taking the fight to Ferrari.
It's refreshing, yeah.
It's very Ferrari refreshing.
Oh.
I forced that.
You
but
did.
For Lewis Hamilton.
Are you having a stroke?
Yeah. For Lewis Hamilton, you know, he's been just under the radar this season, as Thomas mentioned previously. Other than Australia, he hasn't been fantastic. In even his own opinion, he didn't win this race. He was running third for second and third for like the or even fourth for a majority of the race. The only reason he won was because of Bottas's puncture. So honestly, if I were to give him like a score, I'd give him like a 6 out of 10 for the weekend because he just was not overly impressive. For Bottas, what could have been his best drive probably ever in Formula One. By far, like maybe next to Baku last year where he came back and beat Stroll by 0.5 seconds, but again it was Stroll.
You know what, I would argue that last year Baku was his best drive because he came back from
he didn't win though.
Yeah, but coming back from dead last, like after the start no less, like he was last not off the grid, he was last after a lap, so he's already at a disadvantage because the cars are spread out. So
yeah, but either way, this would have put him into the championship lead. Honestly, it wasn't even his fault that he retired.
No.
So I would honestly, he drove a fantastic race, and it's too bad to see him go down because he's sort of been grilled this year as being not too aggressive and not that great of a driver. And there's been questions surrounding whether he actually belongs with Mercedes. And I think had he finished, it would have sort of cemented his place as an elite driver. But again, it wasn't really his fault. So take it as it is, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I think you're being a little critical of Hamilton, and this is from somebody who's not generally a huge fan of people who win a lot.
I'm not saying he was bad, but he's driven a lot better than he drove this weekend.
I would agree entirely. But I do think, you know, he was in contention for the win after the safety car on merit.
Yeah.
He did luck into the win, as he himself admitted, but I think all things considered, it was a solid enough weekend from Hamilton. Nothing outstanding.
Speaking of that, can we talk about his personality is the main part of him that has sort of rubbed me the wrong way for the most part of his career. But what he did on Sunday, I thought was fantastic. When he quote unquote won the race, he was late to the podium. If you guys watched the race, you would know that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because the first thing he did when he got out, he didn't celebrate. He went straight to Bottas and just sort of paid his respects to his dead race.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice. I really actually respected that. Mm-hmm. I think he's come a long way. He's matured a lot, and he didn't even celebrate on the podium. He was just like, this is not my win.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate
it. I respected that, but we should move on.
Yeah. Just really quickly on Bottas, I guess.
Oh, yeah, true.
You know, he wasn't really impressive for like the first half of the race, but then all of a sudden he just starts churning out these ridiculously fast lap times, lap after lap, and all of a sudden he's in contention legitimately for the win.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really think he was not very impressive early on, but he really turned up the heat and...
Party mode.
It's just a shame about the piece of debris, and it's so weird to be remorseful that a Mercedes failed to score big points after the last few years of their dominance. But
Bottas, you can't hate him.
I mean, you could, but...
You could.
But it's unfortunate, really. He should have won this race after everything that happened. Anyway,
all right, moving
on. Let's do this faster. I am so sorry to anybody who sits through this whole thing. Anyway.
No one is.
Fair enough. Ferrari. Go.
So for Ferrari, they had a strong weekend.
Mm-hmm.
They could have qualified first and second front row lockout, but unfortunately, Kimi with that unfortunate little tank slapper.
Looked great, though.
Fantastic lap, but he just bogged it on the last corner and just sort of Tokyo drift styled it around the around that last corner there. But I think, honestly, if he had qualified for second, this would have been a completely different race.
He could have had pole, no less.
Because Alcon wouldn't have gone out.
Yeah, probably. Presumably.
He would have, because this race would have been completely different if he finished second. But the fact that he ended up finishing the actual race in second, I thought was really impressive. Because he started in sixth.
And he fell down to like 19th or something along those lines.
Yeah, so he had a solid drive. And for Sebastian, he was in contention for the win for most of the race. It was just that one corner that he just...
Yeah.
I think he could have had a bit more patience and waited it out just a bit longer. But regardless, it was a solid race from him. Unfortunately, he lost the lead of the championship to Hamilton. Yep. He's only back by a couple points, though, so it's not a huge deal. He can probably make his way back, but it is what it is there.
I am excited, though. It looks like we might genuinely be in for a close championship fight all year long.
Honestly, and multiple drivers could be involved in it, too.
Yeah, who knows with those Red Bulls. Like, if they can sort out their inter-team drama,
they have a good car.
There's a real shot there that they could make some noise. Dark horse candidates, maybe, the both of them. For me with Ferrari, Raikkonen was good. I think he did very well to claw his way back. I think he stayed out of trouble after that first lap, and
kept his nose clean.
I mean, he just was responsible. You know, never amazing, but never poor. And it got him a very impressive second place. So
for sure,
no complaints from a diehard Raikkonen fan, as far as I'm concerned. As for Vettel, I mean, same thing. He was looking a genuine contender for the win. It's unfortunate that he kind of made what I think to be a slightly rash decision into that first corner after the safety car, the second safety car.
Mm.
But no complaints. Very solid performance nonetheless.
We're lucky that we don't have the same controversy as we did last year with Vettel and Hamilton.
When did I do the dangerous driving?
That was so annoying. That Seb, was... you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you are listening to this, you were wrong. So coming in with probably, in my opinion, a team that's looking like they could genuinely, if they keep up their consistency, could be the fourth fastest car on the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Haas continues to have their plunders, Renault
looks
good.
They look very, very competitive.
Like if Hülkenberg didn't hit that wall, this would be probably a fifth and sixth finish for Renault.
Yeah, something along those lines. Definitely well into the points.
Like Carlos Sainz, again, Renault's best result in F1 since their return.
Mm-hmm.
He drove fantastic.
Yeah, he was great.
Wow, like probably his best drive of his career.
It's definitely up there. I don't know enough about the rest of his career to comment.
Didn't he score a podium in Hungary back in like 2015 or 16? I remember there was like that one race in Hungary back then, or maybe it was somewhere else, but there was like a Toro Rosso on the podium, a Red Bull and a Ferrari or something. I could be wrong.
I have absolutely no idea.
I remember that though. But anyways, he had a fantastic drive. Nico Hülkenberg, unfortunate for him not finishing the race because he was battling the Red Bulls just as hard as Sainz was. Yeah. And it was fun to watch.
He was reeling Sainz in too.
I'm a huge Hulk fan.
Yeah.
But
honestly, that's about
it's
all.
It's almost
there is
a spoiler for. Oh wait, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Maybe
but
not.
Is it though?
I don't know. But yeah, both Renaults, I think, we're looking very strong. It's we're a shame only, about Hulkenberg, but
we're slowly making our way through here. We're almost through, actually.
Yeah, maybe we should speed this thing
we
up.
Should
so
speed this
Force
up.
India, real quick, go. Like Force, two
oh,
lines.
We forgot Force India.
Yeah, we did.
Well, sorry, Ocheco. Sorry, Ocheco.
Okay, Sergio Perez.
Good drive.
Great stuff. Amazing strategy.
I think you got a bit lucky, though.
Definitely lucky. I think everyone that was in the top 10 of this race was lucky to a certain extent. But
Ocon, you were at fault. Don't try to put it on Raikkonen. Just accept the fact that that incident was primarily your fault.
I honestly don't think he blamed Raikkonen. I think we're getting clouded by
that's fair.
Their representative. But nonetheless, Force India on the whole looked a lot stronger. Sauber. Oh. I mean, Ericsson looked decent
all weekend. He got that 10-second time penalty, though.
He did get that 10-second time penalty. I don't think it changed anything.
Work.
I am so excited to see what Charlie can do.
We've talked about him, though. We've gone fairly in depth. Alonso and McLaren, another double points finish from McLaren. I think they keep on proving to us that they don't have a qualifying car because they seem to struggle in quali. That might change in Spain when they bring their new car, but they have a good race car because they continue to get consistent double points.
I would argue that they do have a good race car, but it wasn't there in Baku. They would not have been in the points had there been fewer incidents.
They're
but
lucky.
Regardless, the fact of the matter is they both drove responsibly and double points. Here we go.
Williams looking on the up and up, both drivers almost into Q3.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just because the track suits the car.
Yeah,
Stroll also drove fairly well, but maybe this is a sign that Williams is hopefully making some progression with the car, but they got the first points of the season with Stroll coming in eighth. So not much to complain about there. We've already talked about Stoffel the Waffle. We've hardly even touched on Brendan Hartley in this one.
I mean, like a lot of the midfield runners, he got very lucky with the incidents, but I feel like I've said this about six times, but he kept his nose clean.
Yep.
He drove responsibly and consistently, and he's rewarded with his first point in Formula One.
And for Gasly, just got unlucky when Magnussen hit him early in the race or tapped him.
Yeah, but what was that? And then there was that business with Magnussen almost running him into a wall. Now, apparently Magnussen's mirror might have been damaged with the contact with Ericsson. Admittedly, I didn't take a long enough look to confirm that, but yikes, that was dangerous, regardless of whether or not it was intentional. And I can't exactly blame Gasly for being a little bit angry.
No.
Regardless, I think, what's left? We've got Red Bull, and did we touch on Haas? All right, let's go with Haas.
Continues to excitingly disappoint me because they show so much potential in qualifying and they have one aggressively good driver and one annoyingly decent driver.
Actually, I'm curious which one is which, because
aggressively good driver is Kevin Magnussen. I think he can be good. He's shown he can be good.
Mm-hmm.
And annoyingly decent driver, Roman, just stop complaining, dude. Just drive your decent driver, and if you don't shut your mouth, you're going to lose your seat. I'm sorry, but there are so many drivers that Haas can pick from to sign, and he's not making a good case to keep his seat there. He's got experience, I get that, but he needs to stop complaining.
The funny thing is, up until this year, the roles were reversed. People saw Grosjean as the better of the two, and Magnussen was a little bit too aggressive.
Minus the brakes.
Well, brakes were the Haas.
My brakes, they're not good.
But yeah, no, it's weird. I don't know if it's a mix of luck or a lack of pace, because it seems as though Grosjean's just been slightly behind Magnussen this year, which is not what I've been used to seeing, especially over the course of last season. But nonetheless, I really do hope that Haas's fortunes turn around, because
I hope so.
It would be pretty great to see a new team scoring some consistent points based on genuine pace.
They've shown that they have a good enough race car to get them into some decent points, but
Look at Australia.
They just need to learn how to get both cars across the finish line.
Yeah.
And as for Red Bull,
let's just say it was a disaster. They lit the dumpster fire that was Baku this year, and we appreciate them for it.
But it was completely avoidable.
It was, and we're going to have to wait and see what the ramifications are.
Because
that
big accident would have never happened if they just stayed the heck away from each other during the rest of the race. If they
that's
just because like they needed to, they just had to stop fighting each other. Verstappen should have let Ricciardo just go. Ricciardo had the pace, but I feel like we've milked that cow so hard it has anorexia.
Can cows get anorexia? I don't know if cows can get anorexia.
I don't know.
I'm too tired
it's
to look
a really
it up.
Skinny cow at this point. Like,
okay.
And like, I'm just done talking about it. It's going to be talked about a lot, but that is the individual team and driver review. And we're gonna throw things on to our outro now. So let's throw it to the outro. As I just said, we are going to be throwing it to the outro.
Since when do we have an official outro?
Oh, we're going to get an official outro.
Okay, what are we going to do for the... Oh, well, I guess I'm going to see.
I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to see.
They're going to find out with us, too.
Oh, who's stuck Bye. Around this long?
So, thank you for joining us for the ride, which was the 2018 Azerbaijan.
Gesundheit.
Grand Prix.
Do you need to do that every time?
Every time.
All right, fair enough.
That was our review of the race, and we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed the banter. We hope you enjoyed the insight we provided. Maybe it sparked some interesting thoughts about the race for you. And I think with only a few Ocons, we got through it.
What?
The cons, but like... Oh, cons.
Stop. Yeah, I think this has been pretty interesting.
I think it's been good. You know, it was a good start to the podcast. Yeah.
And obviously we're both, I mean, me more so than Zach, but we're both very new to this. We're going to try and iron out any wrinkles that there might be and figure out how we want to do this going forward. But of course, for a proper full-length podcast that was filmed in a basement, again, hopped up on wafers and raspberry iced tea.
Little Caesars.
Little Caesars pizza. Solid stuff. But, you know, all things considered, I think this was a good start.
I think it was. I think it was as good of a start
as... I'm going to cut you off if this is a bad pun.
It's not a bad pun.
Say your goodbyes, because if you're making a bad pun, I'm cutting off.
It was as good of a start as Bottas' restart from the safety car. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. All right. Fair. But in my defense... Given your history with bad puns, I was justified in thinking you were going to make another one.
That's a fair point.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much for joining us on the Proof of the Halo podcast. Send us a voice message on Anchor with any thoughts or ideas you have on what we just talked about for the past like 17 days. Mm-hmm. And we wish you a very good night, and we will see you again in Spain.
Yeah, I'm going to criticize his driving on a video game now.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.